There are lots of conversations going on about how society is more polarized and that we're having a harder time relating to people who look, think, or act differently than we do. But we also just passed a time of year during which many people at least talk about the need for kindness toward other people. So how can we reconcile those two things? To find out, my co-host Mark Brody spoke with Camilla Porter. She's an attorney and mother of three. She's also the founder of the group Kids for Kindness. Porter says when her kids were younger, she called around to service organizations to see if she could bring her family to volunteer. None of them wanted that. So she felt frustrated and created her own organization to get her kids into what she describes as regular and meaningful service. The projects she creates for her group are kid-friendly, and she says around the holidays, attendance can be up to four times higher than during the rest of the year. So Mark asked her about the rest of the year and how to get parents to bring their kids to serve then. How can we allow kids to be kind to each other and treat each other with respect without the need for New Year's resolutions?
I'm glad you asked that because it's actually the reason I created Kids for Kindness for my own family. I wanted us to have a dedicated time each and every month that we would spend time helping and serving others, showing kindness to others. So if you are able to get your family involved in service at the time of the holidays, maybe it incites you to make it a habit. Maybe it incites you to think, as you know, January 1 comes around, I'm going to make this one of my priorities. I'm going to set a goal to get my kids involved in service more often, to make this a part of our family's fabric. And I think as we do that, you know, we have this world and we have so much struggle. We have pain, division, loneliness, hate. If we infuse kindness by doing it ourselves or by encouraging our kids to do it, it's like taking a deep cleansing breath. It can rejuvenate us, it can refresh us, and it can give us strength to connect despite all those troubles and divisions. And as a parent, I know that if I help my kids develop strong social connections, it makes it easier for them to find opportunities to be kind in their own lives, starting today, but then well into the future.
You mentioned the word connect a couple of times there, and I wonder what you're seeing in terms of people, and this is both adults and kids, who spend so much time looking at screens and less time, it seems, talking to people and looking people in the eye and trying to get to know people. What are you seeing in terms of that, both, you know, within the families that come to do the events with Kids for Kindness, but also just sort of in the general world that you observe?
Oh, absolutely. It creates a great deal of division, technology does. And I can see that in my own life. I see it in my kids' lives. And one of the things that I focus on as a parent and as a member of society is to try to minimize my use of devices in my own life, but also when I'm around my kids, and to encourage them to connect face-to-face, human-to-human. I know that when we are able to connect with people on a personal level, we will be able to feel more empathy for them. We will feel encouraged and inspired to give of ourselves. We can understand them better, especially people who maybe we wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to rub shoulders with.
So I'm curious what you see, both again with, you know, with your organization, but also, you know, just sort of out in the world. Whereas, you know, we hear so much, we talked a little bit at the top about how people are more polarized. You know, we hear about, you know, people like their echo chambers and don't want to hear from people who disagree with them on any number of issues or who are maybe different from them. So how do you try to go about teaching people, and especially kids, that it's important to be kind to everybody, not just the people who are maybe in our circles or who think like us or who look like us or have what we have, that kind of thing?
That's an excellent question. I do think that it is difficult for anyone to get out of their bubble. It is difficult for anyone to reach out to people who are different from them for so many different reasons. It is hard to do, and sometimes it's hard to even find opportunities to do it. And if for a kid, they are 100% reliant on their parents to provide them with those opportunities. But if a parent is conscientious and really puts some effort toward exposing their kids to people with different beliefs, different cultures, different races, these things can really educate a child. They can create that empathy, that compassion, and that love that a parent, most parents want their children to develop. But I do think it's difficult to make that happen. It takes so much effort to find your child who lives in this one little suburban bubble in one little neighborhood and to say, did you know that not everyone has what you have? Do you know not everybody looks how you look? Did you know that people have struggles that you've probably never even dreamt of? And then if you make an effort to take them to people that are different from them, that look different from them and have different backgrounds, it will open their eyes. And perhaps at age 3, 5, 6, they don't understand what you're telling them about poverty, homelessness, immigration issues, race issues. They don't understand. But in time, if you continue in that habit, they will grow to understand and hopefully care for these people so that when they are adults, we don't have the same divisions.
Listening to you talk, I'm reminded of a line, and I don't remember where it came from, and I'll have to paraphrase it because I don't know the exact line, but it basically says that, you know, we as people need to find the time to be kind. And it sounds very much like what you're saying, that this is a conscious choice that we have to make to look out for each other and to be kind to people and to some extent, you know, do things for other people that, you know, for many folks, it maybe doesn't come naturally or it's not the easiest thing to do. But it's so important that we have to find the time to be kind to one another.
Absolutely. We do have to find the time. For many people, for most people, it's not integrated into their daily schedule. But one of the reasons I created Kids for Kindness in the manner that I did is so I can appeal to parents who are really busy raising children and working and taking care of their homes and in their being in their communities, being involved in their communities. So one of the things that was very important to me as I created Kids for Kindness was I want any parent who brings a kid to our event to come empty-handed, having had to do no foresight, no planning, no thinking, no shopping. All they have to do is show up. That allows a parent who is otherwise spread so thin to devote time to service and kindness and love and community without having to do much thinking or planning ahead of time. That was one of my goals.
Do you find that people, by and large, are still interested in making the time and effort to be kind to each other?
You know, I think a lot of people are trying. I think COVID opened our eyes to many people to the idea of isolation and loneliness. The technology has opened our eyes to those same problems that we have. And I think a lot of people are turning toward kindness. I feel like kindness is having a moment. You know, you're seeing it more on bumper stickers and you're seeing it on shirts at Target. It's having a moment. And I thought this is the perfect time for us to capitalize on this sudden moment of fame that kindness is experiencing right now. Let's take it, grab it, bottle it, and make the most use of it that we can. Let's turn it into action, and let's turn it into teaching moments.
All right. That is Camilla Porter, founder of Kids for Kindness. Camilla, really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark.